And you're tuned in once again to the Jewish Activist Network. I'm Joe Orlow, your host, right here on AM 620. We'll be broadcasting for the next half hour from 12:30 a.m. to 1 a.m., and we'll be broadcasting right here on AM 620 and also online through our website, streaming. The website is JewishActivistNetwork.com. Again, that's JewishActivistNetwork.com. So you can hear us right here on AM 620 and online between 12:30 and 1 a.m. At 1 a.m. we'll go off the air on AM 620, but we'll continue online for another half hour.
And thank you for being with us. Our phone number is 718-569-0921. That's 718-569-0921. We are continuing on the general topic that we were talking about last week. Last week we had a clip of Rabbi Tendler, Rabbi Moshe Tendler, talking about going up to the Temple Mount at Arbeit, and we spoke about how it is, according to Rabbi Tendler, it's not a halachic question. The halacha is clear that one can go up, and he went up, and we have that video clip on our website, JewishActivistNetwork.com. We also have a video of Rabbi Elbaim. Rabbi Elbaim is a Belzer Chassid, and he has been going up to the Temple Mount for the last 42 years and trying to talk to people, explain to them the importance of going up. This week we're going to be talking a little bit about the different mitzvahs that that you can be mekayim if you do go up. We're going to talk a little bit about the Tshuva HaRadvaz. The Radvaz lived about 500 years ago. And he lived 500 years ago. He was a Rav in Yerushalayim, and he wrote a whole tshuva talking about where exactly you can go up. He says you can go up. You can go quite close. And he says where you can go until. Before I do that, there was a very interesting story that happened today. The Radvaz stands for, by the way, Rabbi David ben Zimra. Radvaz. Resh Dalid Beis Zion. Now, let me talk about a very interesting, something interesting that happened, and that is that a bride went up to the Har Bayit and she was arrested. This happened yesterday. So I'm right now reading from a news clip from the Jewish, the JTA. Jews arrested for praying on the Temple Mount. A Jewish father and daughter were arrested for allegedly praying on the Temple Mount, according to reports. An Arab policeman arrested the two visitors to the mount Wednesday morning as they were being shown around the site by a relative who was a volunteer tour guide at the site. David Kirschenbaum took his daughter to visit the Temple Mount on the day before her wedding. The Jerusalem Post reported, Kirschenbaum told the newspaper he was pointing out sites in Jerusalem from the site, and police took his daughter's nodding for praying. They thought she was praying. Non-Muslims are not permitted to pray on the Temple Mount, including moving their lips in Sa'ad prayer. The two were taken to the Kishla police station near the Jaffa Gate in the Old City of Jerusalem. They were not charged with a crime. So that's news article. Crazy that in the land of Israel, there's no freedom of religion for the Jewish people. You could be arrested for going to the Har HaBayit and for praying. You can go to the Har HaBayit as long as you don't pray. It's crazy, but that's the fact today.
For those listeners who may not be aware, the Har HaBayit can be translated as Temple Mount. It's the area where the Jewish temples stood in Jerusalem. If you're familiar with the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, it's the area behind the Western Wall. And up there is where the temple stood, and people are allowed to go there in certain areas, not in all areas. Jews are allowed to go in certain areas, according to Jewish tradition. And according to this story that we're seeing on the Internet, somebody went up there, and she was simply nodding. Is that correct? She was nodding her head, and that was...
She was nodding her head in response to somebody.
And a policeman interpreted that as a form of prayer and arrested her, and she and her father... spent quite a bit of time in the jail there, or at the police station, trying to get out of the grasp of the police who had arrested them for this activity.
So, yeah, Joe, this is pretty crazy. Could you believe in the land of Israel? There's an issue. It's a place that Jews cannot pray. It's on the, you can't even imagine it. If you're living in the United States, you wouldn't even imagine such a thing.
But they weren't even praying. In other words, a person can't even act in a way that can be interpreted by the police as prayer. That already is apparently stepping over the line.
There's another article here. This talks about, this gives a little bit more detail. I'll just quickly read part for this one. The father and the daughter were being taken around the site on Wednesday morning by her brother, Ellie, a volunteer who conducts regular tours on the Temple Mount, when suddenly they were accosted by the Jerusalem policemen. Quote, "We were in the northern part, and I was showing them the archaeological evidence, when suddenly a police officer came over to us. Mahmoud Hatif was his name, and he claimed that my father had muttered prayers. We tried to argue with him and said it wasn't true, but he said, 'You can't fool me,' and insisted that my father had prayed," Ellie told Israel National News. "My sister was just standing there silently, not moving at all. She didn't say a word. It was her first time at the mount. Other cops came over. Mahmoud said that she had also been involved, and they decided to arrest them both," he continued. "He let me go right away because he couldn't make any claim against me. His sister and father were taken to the Kishon police station near the Jaffa Gate in the old city of Jerusalem." Then it goes on to talk about how the police forced them to sign a confession that they were doing a disorder, otherwise they wouldn't let them out of the police station, and how the officers at the Jaffa Gate station mocked the bride. This is what's going on.
You know what?
It's an outrage. But
you know what it reminds me of? The story is told. I'm not sure what the source is, but many people say that the origin of the dreidel that we spin on Hanukkah is that when the decrees came down that it was going to be against the law, the Greeks were saying that it's against the law for Jews to learn Torah. So Jewish men would gather and they would pretend to be gambling, that the dreidel was just a gambling game. And therefore, if any policeman came over, they could say, "We're gambling," when in fact they were learning Torah. So when the cops came over, they would pull out the dreidel and say that they weren't learning at all, and that way they would be able to circumvent the decree. The reason I'm thinking that is this Friday night begins Hanukkah. We light the first light on the Chanukiah. And it seems that not much has changed in the over 2,000 years since Hanukkah, that if somebody wants to go up on where the Beis HaMikdash stood and be involved in some Jewish activity, they almost have to hide it and pretend they're doing something else in order to not get arrested.
Right. I mean, the outrage is that the whole idea that they're questioning and they're defending themselves by saying that we didn't pray. That in itself is an outrage. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But then we know that a few things that are only acquired through hardship. Mm. One of them is the temple. So I suppose this is expected.
The other parallel, just to add, the other parallel, it seems, with Hanukkah is that in reality Hanukkah was not so much a battle of Jew against Greek as it was of Jew against Jew. Jew against Jew clinging to halacha against the Hellenized Jew. And that seems to be the case here. Although the policeman who did this particular arrest was an Arab, the reality is the other policemen were not necessarily Arabs, and they were employed by the government of Israel, the current government of Israel.
Absolutely. They enforce the decrees of the Arabs on the Temple Mount. Mm. And it's very nice. We do want to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah. And it is very apropos. In fact, a lot of people that go up to the Temple Mount on Hanukkah because they are moved and inspired by the Beis HaMikdash, by the Holy Temple. And I understand that next Thursday there's going to be people on the Mount continuously. At least the times that it's open, there'll be a lot of people going up next Thursday, which is the Thursday of Hanukkah. Now, our phone number is 718-569-0921. If you have any questions about what we're talking about, you can call us, 718-569-0921. Our website is www.jewishactivistnetwork.com. We have a lot of information on the web about our shows, and you can get an email, a weekly email if you'd like, telling you what will be on the show, and also a lot of interesting information that you could get. Send an email to media@jewishactivistnetwork.com, to get on that list. To get on the list again, media@JewishActivistNetwork.com. So let's talk a little bit about a few positive commands, a few mitzvahs, I say, that can be accomplished when you're going up to the Harbayit. The first one we're going to talk about is Mor HaMikdash, the fear of the sanctuary. That's in the Rambam, in the Sefer Mitzvahs. It's the 21st mitzvah, Mitzvah Chaf Aleph. And the example given is that a person should not enter, so how do you fear the Mikdash? Do not enter the Temple Mount with a staff in your hand, with your shoes, with a money belt, and to go up there and only in places that you're allowed to go, and to go there with fear, and to show respect. You're not allowed to go and cut across and make a shortcut out of the Harabayit. If you really didn't want to go on the Harabayit, but you had to get to the other side, you have to go around, you're not supposed to cut through. All this is the mitzvah of showing respect and having fear of the place of the temple. Because the place of the temple, the Kedusha, the holiness of it, has not gone away. It remains there even when the temple is not there, which is the reason that we pray towards the Holy Temple all the time. All our prayers every day, three times a day, and other times also that we pray, we're supposed to direct ourselves and also our minds to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And now I'm going to read a quote from the Rambam. Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Laws of the Sanctuary, the 7th Perek, Halacha, Vav and Zion, 6 and 7. Quote, even though the Mikdash today is destroyed due to our sins, a person is obligated to fear it, the same as is done when it is built. One should only enter the place that is permitted. One may not sit in the temple's courtyard. One should not be frivolous opposite the eastern gate. Even though it is destroyed, it remains in its holiness. And the Rambam talks about and says that you must. So one thing that's very interesting right in this paragraph is one should only enter places that is permitted. One may not sit in the temple courtyard. One should not be frivolous opposite the eastern gate. So these are things which he's talking about nowadays. Nowadays, you must fear it, and you cannot go in places that it's forbidden to. You may not sit in the temple's courtyard. And to me, what's interesting is the implication is that it's possible to be there, just you can't sit there. And so the idea is that you can go in. In fact, the Rambam himself went in, and there's a letter from the Rambam talking about how he had actually gone up to the holy house, and he visited it when he was up there, when he went to Yerushalayim on his way down to Egypt. So that's one mitzvah. Another mitzvah is to pray in the sanctuary, to pray in the Mikdash. This is included in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvah 5, the 5th Mitzvah, Mitzvah Hay, where at the end of it, this mitzvah is talking about the mitzvah of prayer. How a person has to serve Hashem. Va'avadetem es Hashem alakechem. You should serve. You should serve Hashem, and the Rabbanim, our rabbis explained, how do you serve? That is prayer. And then at the end it says, Avdehu b'taroso avdehu b'mikdasho. Serve him with your Torah. Through Torah, serve him in his mikdash. In other words, you should attempt to pray there. You should attempt to go and pray by the mikdash. And so that is an actual command. If you go towards there and you show respect, you are doing a mitzvah. Joe.
Yeah.
Just tell me if this makes sense. There's also, I'm going to make a comparison. There's a positive command of swearing in Hashem's name. Uvishmo tishaveh, you must swear in his name.
When the time comes when is halakhically required to make a...
Exactly.
An oath.
So for example, let's say you have to go to court and there are times that you have to swear to say that and to make sure that what you're saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
So of course you're not allowed to swear in the name of anybody else, obviously. And there's a mitzvah that's allowed. And there's a mitzvah there's a positive command to swear in Hashem's name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a person could accomplish that when the time comes, and if he could, it's possible a person doesn't do that mitzvah if it doesn't come up.
All right.
And a very similar thing is the way it seems to me is how it works here with fearing the sanctuary, a Mikdash Yetzirah. It could be that a person doesn't live anywhere near the sanctuary, and so, for example, where he has to avoid sitting in the courtyard, he doesn't even come to that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's there, if he goes there and he goes into it and he prays with reverence, he accomplishes that command.
All right.
And there are a lot of commands like that.
The Shlach HaKain comes to mind also, sending away the mother bird, right? A person,
right.
He doesn't have to go out into the forest and find the bird.
If you happen to come upon the bird?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So if you happen to come upon it, then you accomplish the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird. If you are not involved, you never see birds, so obviously you're not going to acquire that command of sending away the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you go there in the proper state of mind, you're able to accomplish fearing the sanctuary. Where if you don't go there, you won't be able to accomplish it. There's also a command of building, to build the Beis HaMikdash. And this is the mitzvah number 20, Chof, in the Rambam's count, the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Now, to build the Beis HaMikdash is something which hopefully we'll be able to do soon. There are a lot of questions about, there are Midrashim that talk about the Beis HaMikdash coming down from the Shemayim, but those are Midrashim. On the other hand, in a simple halacha, we are taught that one of the reasons that we have a Mesechus Midas, Mesechus Midas is a Mishnah that talks about exact dimensions of the Second Temple. And the Rambam explains that why do we even need that? It would seem that you don't need that because that's in the past. The Second Temple is already built. The Mishnah talks about mitzvahs. The Mishnah was laid out to be a guide for us. And he explains that because when we build the Third Temple, we should look at the Mishnah Maseches Midas, and we'll be able to see the way it was built in the past, and use that information to help us building it in the future.
Let me just remind our listeners that they're tuned into the Jewish Activist Network. We're broadcasting here on AM 620 and also through the Internet, through our website, jewishactivistnetwork.com. That's Jewish, ACTIVIST, activistnetwork.com. It's about 12:45. We'll be on the air another 15 minutes or so on AM 620 and online. And at 1 a.m., we're going to continue online. Our special guest will be Rabbi Eidenson. We'll be talking about concept of whether or not the U.S. government should be involved in defining what is a family. Right now, we're speaking about the Temple Mount, the Har HaBayis, and the mitzvahs involved with it. And our call-in number is 718-569-0921.
So that's right. Please tune in also at 1 o'clock after we're done with this segment, so you can hear online and continue listening to Rabbi Eidenson speak about the idea of this government getting involved in the marital issues. Now, look, just I'm talking about building the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a mitzvah today. The mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is even today. And in fact, in the Yerushalmi, it says that the Beis HaMikdash will be built before the coming of the Mashiach, before the King of the Mashiach is established. And there's a lot of the other places at the end of the Rambam where he talks about how we're only going to know if Mashiach is Mashiach after he accomplishes many, many tasks, after the Beis HaMikdash is built and after wars are fought. And it could be that somebody will be an attempted Mashiach and he will be a tzaddik, but he won't be the Mashiach. And the way we'll know that is that he will not have accomplished all of those tasks. But you see from there that the building of the Beis HaMikdash will be before we know who Mashiach is. And so the idea is that by going in, Jews should show and they should be there on the Har HaBayit, and we should not be relinquishing sovereignty. And by doing that, we're getting a step closer to actually building the Beis HaMikdash at some point, the Meher V'Yameinu, Amen. Okay, we have a caller. Chaim, thank you for giving us a call on the Jewish Activist Network. How are you tonight?
I have something to say about the Temple Mount. I did know in the past people from the Kahana movement. I know from the neighborhood, whatever. I used to speak to them. I dealt with them. I happened to at the time, I knew Mike Guzowski. You had him on your show on recently, Mike Guzowski.
Yeah, he was on the Temple Mount, and he backed down. Right. He was arrested.
Now I used to speak to them sometimes. I'm a Haredi, so I wasn't really part of their movement. But I used to speak to them. Let me just make a point. People like Mike and the like, he's a great guy, Mike. He's a very nice guy. He'll do anything to help another Jew. He's very active in Israel. He used to be active in America, I guess, as far as defending Jews in Israel and these kind of things. But, you know, he's what I would call political activism. I'm not saying that in a bad way, you know. I'm saying it in a good way. You know, he's active to try to make the situation better for Jews in Israel. But what the impression that I got that people like Mike and the movement to go onto the Temple Mount, I feel is more politically motivated rather than religiously motivated. Now, not that the political motivations are bad, they're good. I mean, they want the situation to be better.
I guess we have to define, what's the meaning of political motivation?
Right,
I mean,
I'm saying,
let me ask you, if I want to, let's say I think that Jewish people, for example, what's going on in Israel over here is that they're freezing people from building in the settlement.
Right, I call it political.
People have houses and they're able to build. So if I say that's crazy, people should be able to build their own house.
Yes, and
that they have permits for. Is that political?
Yeah.
Political is just a word.
I don't say political in the condescending way. I meant political as opposed to religious. Meaning, like the people who will fight for a Chilul Shabbos, I would call that religious, and the people who would fight for this, I would call political.
Let me ask you a question. The Chashmonaim were fighting against the Greeks for the power.
It was a religious war.
That's religious. Okay.
Oh yeah, that was religious.
Hello. Do you think? Let me ask you.
All right, so let me just make my point. What I'm saying is that, you're quoting all these Rambams and everything. It doesn't sound to me that the reason why they're going up is really because they just want to get close to, maybe they do want to get close to Hashem. I'm not saying that, but I don't think that's the reason why they're going to the Temple Mount. I think you want to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you should be.
I don't think
you should be questioning the psychological. I don't think it's our job to question. I'm sure that they will tell you no. They think it's the right thing to do. Why would somebody go and politically try to do something? Obviously, they think it's the right thing
to do.
Politically,
it may be better to show that Jews have more of a stronghold, more of a control. That is true, and I would be happy to see those who are on Temple Mount right now lose control of that area because they don't belong there. True.
Yeah, but the question is like this. Let me ask you something. Why would they politically, in your words, politically, want to show control there? Why don't they show control in
it's a key site somewhere
or in China?
It's a key area in Israel. It means a lot.
What makes it key? But what makes it key?
Well, true. What makes it key is,
I mean, you're calling it political, but ultimately it's the same thing.
Okay. Well, in the world, it's a very historical site. It causes a lot of political. I think we shouldn't sort of divert this, make this into a religious campaign. I don't think it's a religious campaign.
I don't agree with you.
Okay, fine.
I appreciate you calling. I'll just explain in a minute.
Let me just say one more point that last week there was an argument made that Moshe Tendler did things, and it was assumed that his father agreed with everything he did. I happen to have firsthand, not assumed.
He said so.
Right. I happen to have firsthand information that there are many things that he did not with his father-in-law's consent. I mean, and just the opposite.
I also read the Tshuva. You know, he didn't. I read the Tshuva. I heard what he said.
Forget the Tshuva.
Just the argument.
Many
other people. And listen, I don't want to get involved in this type of question of, we're not questioning personal people, we're not questioning...
No, that's not the point. I'm not getting to that truth. I'm just saying the idea that someone's son-in-law does something automatically, his father-in-law agreed with it, that I don't think that's true. I'm not criticizing anyone, I'm just saying...
Thank you.
I understand, I appreciate your call, and I'm not saying that... what anybody does means what one person does does not imply necessarily that another person did anything. But at the end of the day, we look at the facts, and this is a religious issue. It's not a political issue, and a politics. The world is politics. You know, when you say, "Oh, it's political," I don't see that. It doesn't make any sense.
I think the word political may actually be related to the word power, and that's why I was bringing the case of the Hashmonaim, because ultimately the idea was to control the land and implement Torah in the land of Israel. Let's take another caller. Hello, you're on the air on the Jewish Activist Network. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I don't understand. He talks about Mishnayis and Masechta Midos. It's the Kabbalah that Klal Yisrael will not explicitly not build a Beit HaMikdash. It will come down in Hashem mind.
So no, that's not a Kabbalah. But
it is.
There are many, many. It says that Hashem will build the walls of Jerusalem with fire. It says that the Bnei Yisrael will come back to the land on the wings of eagle. In fact, it says about the people from Mitzrayim. That the SS come out, Kansinisharim, the obvious Chemela, and I lift you on the wings of the eagles and bring you to me. And it was talking about Mitzrayim. And we know there were no eagles involved in that. All these things are expressions of swiftness.
You know something? You're a Kaifa Baker.
Okay. Nachamal, we have people over here who are unfortunately unlearned. They're completely unlearned. In fact, if they would learn it, if they were to learn Hilchos Malachim in the Rambam, he says explicitly that it's going to be built by people. Halacha is very, very clear that the Beis Hamikdash will be built by people.
We don't mean to say that if it's brought down that these ideas that they don't happen. It can be both. In other words, we're reaching up to Shemayim, and Shemayim is bending down to us, and we're meeting here at the place where Shemayim and Aritz are melding together, which is Yerushalayim and the Har HaBayis. Let's take one more caller.
The point is that for callers such as that one before, yeah, I would simply suggest that he learn.
Okay,
unfortunately, we have many people who are very, very ignorant.
We're running.
If they would learn, they would know something.
We just have a minute
or two. That's my advice.
We just have a minute or two. Let's try to take one more caller. Hello, you're on the air. Can you go ahead? Hello, you're on the air. Okay.
Okay, let me just quickly mention in this minute, the last one of the mitzvahs is to cry out in prayer to Hashem, to the Almighty. If somebody has a problem, such as a sickness affecting a family member, somebody who is withheld from having children, a woman who has difficulty giving birth, any other personal problem, it's a mitzvah to go up to the Beis HaMikdash and to go as close as you can and to pray. You would go opposite the eastern gate, opposite the Kodesh Kodashim, and you pray. Now, for anybody who goes to the Kotel HaMaravi, the Western Wall, why are they going to the Kotel HaMaravi? Why did they daven in the shul? Because we understand that the Kotel HaMaravi, we're getting a step closer to Hashem. In fact, the Kotel HaMaravi is a wall of the Har HaBayit itself. On the other side of the Kotel is earth. It's the mountain. The Kotel HaMaravi, the Har HaBayit starts about three quarters of the way up to the Kotel right now. That's where you go in. Under that, it's all dirt, because the Kotel is actually a supporting wall of the mountain. So if you're going to go to the Kotel HaMaravi, you may as well go with expert people, Talmid Chachamim. You may as well go actually to the Temple Mount. You could go there, and you could see it. You could contemplate. If they don't let you pray at this point, you could contemplate. You could think the prayers. You could also pray a little bit, because you can do it a little bit. They're not right on top of you. And then you could come down to daven mincha afterwards at the Kotel. You could daven. You can make it together. So we talked a little bit about the mitzvahs, and there's a lot, lot more. If you go on the website, we have recommended learning, a few svarim.
We continue online now. Please go to JewishActivistNetwork.com and click on streaming. We'll continue online now.